Good morning. It is good to be back with you. She made it sound like it's a real effort for me to come down, and it isn't, because my daughter just lives over here a few blocks, and I get to see her, and I get to see all of you. And really and truly, I've been down here enough times now that this feels like a home away from home, and I appreciate your hospitality to me when I come, and you welcome me in, and I greatly appreciate that. And it's good to be back with you today. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Good. Thank y'all for talking back. That always helps me. And so thank you for that. Today, I have a subject that I'm very passionate about, and it involves two components: hospitality and boundaries. I believe those two can go together. I think they need to go together, and it's what I want to talk about today. As I begin, though, I want to share with you, I'm not an expert in either of these categories, though I'm growing in both. I'm learning about both. I want to know more about both, and that's probably why I'm passionate about both. And so I come to you today to speak with you about a subject that I offer. I'm a fellow traveler with you in our journey of understanding and discovery and learning and trying to figure out what does that mean. And we're going to talk some about that. I want to start with a story, though, that occurred with my wife and I, and a way that we have tried to practice what I'm going to talk about today. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was asked to go out to California and speak for a week among a variety of groups out in Modesto, California, which is not the most California part of California, if you know about Modesto. And I visited there for a week, and one of the groups that I visited with was a group of young college students who were doing some work there, and I'd kind of made an instant connect with them, and they were intrigued by my story and what I was doing. And so then I came home and kind of had a connect with one or two of that group. And one of the young women and her boyfriend asked if they could come visit my wife and I and hang out with us, spend the weekend with us one weekend, and come to Texas. And so we said, of course, and they came, and we had a really awesome, fantastic weekend. And, you know, it's one of those weekends where everything kind of comes together, and you just had a great time. Everything was awesome. And it was like, wow, you know, if this is what you people in Texas do, I want to live here kind of thing, you know. And, I mean, we went to a ball game, and we went to Kima, and we, you know, we just had a great time. And as this these two young adults were leaving, the young man, who I didn't know quite as well, looked at me and he said, "Man, I would really like to move here. Do you think I could come move here?" Well, obviously, I'm not in control of his life. He can move here if he chooses. But I said, "Sure, come move." But I said, "What I want you to do is I want you to go home, and I want you to, you know, get, you had a great time this weekend. We had loads of fun, and you experienced our community up in Tomball, and all of that was good. But let's give it like a month. And, you know, if after a month you still feel like you want to come to Texas, we'll talk about it." Well, a month went by, and he calls me up, and even more anxious than he had been before, said, I want to move to Texas. Can I come?" And I said, "Sure, come on. We'll welcome you into our community." And I had talked it over with my wife, and we said, "Why don't you come, and we'll let you stay with us until you can get settled in." And, what's going on in the crowd? Some of you have read the ending to the book, haven't you? Yeah, I get that. Well, actually, Rodney is a marvelous young man, and we let him come stay, and our agreement was he was going to stay for 2 months. And he came, he began to live with us, and to begin with, we knew that, okay, this is going to be a long-term guest. And so my wife and I, the first thing we did was we sat down and we said, this is kind of the rhythm of our home. These are the things that we do, and there are some things that are kind of our house rules that we operate by because this is our house, and we'd like you to honor those house rules. That's a boundary, by the way. And Rodney said, fine, great. He adapted. He worked well. And everything was going great. And Rodney was looking for a job. And as you already know, the end of the story, the 2 months, then was about 6 months. And at the 6 month or so mark, Rodney and I sat down again. And I said, okay, Rod, he kind of had some part-time work. He was a substitute teacher. He does have a college degree, and he was pursuing a profession as a teacher. And I said, this has gotten a little bit more than what we had originally talked about. And so in addition to our rhythm and our little house rules, I'm going to ask you also to start taking care of the yard. I want you to start mowing the grass and taking care of it. I've got the equipment, but you use my equipment. And Rodney said, of course, I'll be happy to do that. He did that. That was another boundary that we established in our relationship. And the idea was that fairly soon he was going to find his own place and all of this was going to work out well. Well, within the first year, he got a job at Tomball ISD teaching and began to work really hard. And all the while, he was living at our house. The bottom line is Rodney was not and is not a difficult person, and so it was really easy for us to extend our stay with him. But as he got to that 1 year mark and as he got his own job, and we laugh about it now, by the way, even Rodney, I sat down with him again and said, okay, Rodney, we've kind of crossed another barrier here. Becky and I, it's fine for you. It really is fine for you to have an extended stay with us longer than this. But if you have a job now and it pays you good money, and so we're going to charge you rent. And so we're going to ask you to pay this amount per month, plus mow the yard, plus house rules, and you can prolong your stay with us longer. And Rodney agreed, and he began to pay us per month. Once again, we established a boundary with Rodney. And about 2.5 years later... Rodney purchased his own home because he had saved up enough money that he could afford the down payment, and he bought his own house, and he's now married and is doing really, really well and is still teaching where he is, and he's still part of our community. But I tell you the story because I want you to see that hospitality, and by the way, hospitality doesn't mean you let somebody come live with you for 2.5 years. It means we welcome people into our lives. But it also means that we establish boundaries of what's mine and what's theirs and what's my responsibility and what's not my responsibility. And we establish limits in our relationship. And when we do that, and I'm not sure we did that all perfectly or well, but it worked, and we have a great relationship, and Rodney is still a part of our community in Tomball and my congregational community, and he's a part of our lives on a regular basis. And I think the way that happened was because we established some boundaries so that we didn't feel like he was abusing us or taking advantage of us or manipulating us or requiring from us something that we didn't want to give. And I think that's the way that boundaries balance out what hospitality is. So let me just go through a few thoughts and ideas with you this morning in my brief moments. I want to begin by, so what is hospitality? Let me just kind of declare that. And a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, I think I was here and talked a little bit about hospitality. But the word hospitality comes from two Greek words, which one of the words is phileo, which means brotherly love. Philadelphia comes from that, the city of brotherly love. And another word that's xenos, which means the stranger. So hospitality is brotherly love for the stranger. It means to have brotherly love for people that we don't know, that people that are different than us. And hospitality, in the depth of its meaning, means to turn our lives toward and open our hearts toward the isolated or the excluded, or those maybe that are being ignored in life. That's really the depth of it. So it goes beyond just good Southern hospitality. You know how we are in the South? We're just nice people, right? Or really a better way to say, we're just nice in the South, right? But the reality is hospitality goes deeper than that. It means opening ourselves and being inclusive where maybe others are exclusive. It means to be accepting where others may not be accepting. It means to welcome others when others may not be as welcoming. How many have ever been in a place, and actually Martha and I were just talking about this before the service this morning, but how many of you have ever been in a group or a place or among a group of people where you felt excluded and not included into the group? Yeah, we've all been there, right? And that feels absolutely horrible, doesn't it? And so hospitality is to, I believe, to be looking for opportunities to welcome people into our lives who maybe aren't regularly welcome into the lives of other people. It's listening well to those who rarely have a voice. So one of the things that I've begun to do in my own life to try to practice this is I've tried to really begin to pay attention to the people that service me in one way or another. You know what I mean? When I go to the little gas station that I go to, Ali runs the gas station, and Ali is Pakistanian, and he's a Muslim, and which, by the way, he sort of stands out up in Tomball. And so one of the things that I've done is I want to be hospitable to Ali. And I want to welcome him into my life. And so I've discovered Ali is married and he's got two daughters. And one of them is 10 and one of them is a little baby. And the little baby sleeps in the bed with them. And the little baby therefore keeps him up all night. And the little baby cries all the time. And so when I go in, and by the way, most of the time when I get gas in my truck, I don't go inside So I've begun to be intentional about going in, buying a bottle of water, buying a package of gum, just so I can talk to Ali. Because I want to be a friend. I want to be more than just an acquaintance. I want to know him. And I want him to know something about me. And we're just in the beginning of that relationship. But I know something about him. He knows something about me. And I want to welcome him into my life because I think he probably is a person that feels a little bit excluded in our community. There's another woman that I hate to say this, but I frequent the donut shop. I'm not a policeman, but I frequent the donut shop, and we have Shipley's are the best, and so Aramis works at the donut shop in Tomball, and she is a Hispanic woman. I don't know whether she's legal or not, and I really don't care. But I'm learning something about her life. I know she's got a couple of children. I know she loves to come to Galveston to go fishing, and here's when she gets to come to Galveston. She comes to Galveston between 4 and midnight in the afternoon because she works from 4 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon every day. And what I discovered is that she has no day off and no vacation. So she works every day of every week from 4 to 4, and that's the only time. And so, I'd love to help Aramis find another job. But that's a way I'm trying to be hospitable to a person that I think is excluded and maybe doesn't have a voice. And just knowing their story. I think those are examples of what hospitality looks like. So why is hospitality important? I think hospitality is important because it's a gift that we not only give ourselves, but that we give to someone else. And so when we give that gift, we give it to both people. We build up the other person's humanity when we welcome him or her into our lives and listen to their story. And without hospitality, I'm afraid we have a tendency to grow isolated and frightened, and we become hostile when we do that. I think without hospitality, we lose our capacity to have empathy for other people who may be different than us. in the recent Zimmerman trial and all of the angst that was brought on by that, I have a number of African-American friends, and all of my Anglo friends kind of see things from one perspective, and my African-American friends see things from a completely different perspective, and many of my Anglo friends have no empathy for the perspective of someone else. And I believe that hospitality, welcoming people into our lives, enables us to have empathy for people who maybe we don't know their story, and we don't understand their predicament, and we don't understand what all is going on. And so, for me, those are some of the benefits of offering hospitality, and that's what it is. Offering hospitality, however, shouldn't mean that we get walked on, taken advantage of, or bullied by other people into doing something we don't want to do. And that's where boundaries come in. You still with me? I just want to check in. I know most of you are. Good. Thank you. This is that moment when we have a little commercial break for you to let your brain just go in neutral a minute. All right. So what are boundaries? Let's talk about boundaries a minute. Boundaries are basically about me taking control of my life and me being responsible for my life and me determining what is mine and what is not mine and what I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. One of the little sayings that I've caught on to that I really, really like that I think really helps me around boundaries is that I am not responsible for any other person. I'm not responsible even for my spouse for how she feels or how she behaves or what she does, but I am responsible to other people to love them. As a follower of Jesus, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. As a follower of Jesus, Jesus said that I was a stranger, identifying himself, and you welcomed me in. And so as his follower, I take that seriously and believe that there's a responsibility in the world. And even if you're not his follower, if you just believe in the goodwill of people, as we saw in the principles of the Unitarian and Universalist Church, that all people have worth and are of value, then I'm not responsible for you, but I am responsible to you, to love you and to care about you and to care for you. And so boundaries are about us taking responsibility for what's ours and letting others take responsibility for what's theirs. And boundaries are about setting limits and having consequences. And boundaries, the best definition, the one word boundary is the word no. I'd like every one of you to take up another offering and each of you to give me $100 today. Yeah, see, you're already really good at it. And it didn't take anything for you to establish a real clear boundary. We're not going to do that, right? Exactly. That's what boundaries are about. And so we can be hospitable people, and yet at the same time, it doesn't mean that I can't say no. I said it was read in the introduction. It doesn't make us selfish people to establish boundaries. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm not willing to do. And by the way, when we establish boundaries, here's what it does for us. Then it enables us to be willing, or it enables us to love other people sacrificially and freely, rather than out of our anxiety or our fear that they're going to not like us or not approve of us or think less of us or those kinds of things. Boundaries keep us from feeling used and taken advantage of. I like this little quote. I will not be violated by your selfishness. And you see, the reality is boundaries don't mean that we're selfish. Boundaries are about us clearly defining that when another person tries to cross into my territory, that's them being selfish, not me being selfish. That was an eye-opener for me and was good. Establishing clear boundaries is about opening up this possibility to offer acts of kindness based purely out of love rather than guilt or fear. Boundaries keep us and help us not to give up who we are. So I think, in conclusion, there's two extremes that we need to avoid in life. One extreme is this. Some people can't say no, and they end up being controlled by other people. And every now and then, I have a tendency to be kind of like that. And here are my fears. I fear hurting other people's feelings, so I won't say no. I fear feeling guilty. I just don't like the feeling of feeling guilty, so I don't say no. I fear being viewed as selfish or unkind, and so I can't say no. That's an extreme. I got my hair cut this week, and the woman that does my hair is one of these people, and she acknowledged it. And we were talking, somehow this whole subject came up. I don't even remember how, but she was talking about the fact that she can never say no. She has no boundaries in her life. That's one extreme. The other extreme is some people can't say yes. It seems there are some people that just, they build their walls too high and keep everyone out. They set themselves, or they set boundaries against the responsibility to love. And so I want to invite you to think about hospitality and boundaries. Not either or, both and. And I want you to consider, I just want to invite you to think about keeping life in balance by opening yourself up to welcome some people maybe that are different than you, and yet at the same time establishing clear boundaries so that you don't get taken advantage of. And I want to invite you to consider not opening up your life so much or closing your life off so much that you defend yourself against people and this responsibility to love. One of the challenges for me as I think about all of this is I think about all the needs in the world, and I recognize that they are overwhelming. And so I ask myself the question, so where do you start? How in the world can... I mean, there are just so many folks. And I simply want to say to you, I think that we make room for hospitality one person at a time. And it's the person that we see today. And I just want to invite you this week, maybe, to be looking for the person that you can open your life to and welcome in while you maintain boundaries. Thanks for having me again, and I appreciate always being here with you.